Why? Because we are here today, this Sunday morning, to worship you, to praise you, to lift your name up. You said in your word, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, help me to decrease while you increase. Give them a word. Your people are hungry for the word. If there ever was a time, it is now. In the name of Jesus, this is our prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. 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 So glad to see you. You may be seated. Give an honor to my pastor in her absence, Pastor Jonathan Ford. Let's continue to keep him in prayer. Amen. Him and his family. So glad to see everyone today. So glad to see my brother there with his arm folded. Peace be unto you. Amen. Amen. So glad to see everybody. I was counting the number of men that I'm... that are here this morning, but they're coming. Maybe they're out in the yard. It's very hard to study the word of God when you smelling ribs. So y'all pray for me. It is very hard. Lord help us. And then I heard some other noise out in the yard. I said, oh my goodness, what's happening right here? But y'all pray for me. First of all, I want to acknowledge my wife. It's been a long time. We've been married 55 years. No goodness of my own. Don't ask me, ask her, how did she do it? God bless you. A lot of prayer. I am a true believer. Prayer changes things. You know, without prayer, we're nothing. Just so glad to see everybody, all the smiling faces, all the black and white, and everyone. I'm just so happy just to be here. I'm so glad. I want to talk this morning about fathers. And it goes for the mothers too. I'm not leaving you out. Because the Bible said the young men and women and the young daughters, young sons and the young daughters shall prophesy. Didn't it say that? So that means it took more than just the man. It took the woman. When he made man, then it was the woman from the man. They were together. Amen? Father, defined as the male head of the household, who was the undisputed authority in the family, giving religious instructions to the children. It's a relationship in the family that interact among themselves. It's the family. And God patterned his word after the family. Amen? Amen? As a father, head of the home, giving instructions, children showing obedience. Love is demonstrated all the time. Do you know God is love? Love demonstrated at all times. Him, the father, in the household, showing compassion. Him as a great listener. You have to listen to your children. In this day and age, you must listen to your children. It's a must now. It's not like, well, I'm too busy. Look, go do what I told you to do. I'm too busy. Listen to your children. They have something to say. Also, the father as a disciplinary. Uh-oh. It's in the Word. Huh? And even though you work, Tyrone, God bless you, even though you work, you still must take time out for quality time with your family, with your children. You have to spend that kind of time. You know, you work, you get off work, or you get off early and run to catch the football games, the basketball games, Logan, the whatever. That quality time is very important because they look for dad. They look for the mother. They look for the family because that is going to help them be all that they can be. Our Heavenly Father is our perfect Father. Men, why don't we pattern ourselves after our Father? Why don't we? It's in the Word. You don't have to be the greatest philosopher, well-educated, doctor degrees, all kind of degrees. Read God's Word. Amen? Read His Word. As a father, we are supposed to reflect the heart of God for all His children. I'm going to give you four characteristics of a father. There are more, but due to the shortness of time, I'm going to give you four. Number one, the father as a life giver. That don't mean because you made a baby and you running up and down the street pushing a baby stroller, coach. Am I right? That don't make you a father. And you hollering, I'm a daddy. And your pants is lower than your hips. That don't make you a father. I'm a daddy, I'm a daddy, I'm a daddy. Number two. Father as a provider. Yeah, I'm working three jobs. It takes more than working three jobs, two jobs, a job. That's two. Father as a comforter. I don't think some of the men know what that means. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you do know what it means. Looking the Bible. I didn't say the dictionary. Look in the Bible. Father as a comforter. Father as a teacher. It's a scripture that tells you to train up a child. You wonder why your child is half crazy and all messed up. And you're home in their home. It ain't like you done left home and he's being raised without a father. He said, teach a child. And you know the scripture. Human beings, that's the four. That's the four. Life giver, provider, comforter, and teacher. God our Father is the essential life giver. Everybody agree with that? Somehow in planning himself, and this has never been no one has ever discovered something to do better than what God did when he did creation. Amen? Somehow he implanted himself in each human being. He imparted the breath of life. And that haven't been discovered by man. Well, I'm gonna make you come alive. And they got all kinds of things to give you to try to keep you living. And you really are you living. But to really, in creation, he gave us something special. He made us different from anything else that he created. He gave man the breath of life. God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. I know I didn't give you a subject, but we'll get to that a little later. You don't need a subject if we're talking about fathers and parenting and being mentoring your children. We don't have to have a title. I'm telling you what it is. Amen? Human beings are the manifestation of God's image, of his creative order. In some way, we as fathers, our children are the image of you. I can see my daughter and see me in my daughter. I can see my son and, well, I didn't know what that was, you or your son. Huh? So the image is there. They are our offspring. But God is the perfect father. Why not we as fathers try to be like him? A father is to reflect the heart of God as a life giver. As a life giver, a father must fulfill several responsibilities. So let's keep dealing with this life giver. He must establish with his children an emotional attachment. Emotional attachment. How? Through outward experience. Through outward expressions. Joy, physical. Nourishing, physical nourishing. And emotional support. Emotional support. As a father, you must care also for your wife. That's your God-given helpmate. Because without her giving birth, hello, we could not be a father. We must strive to bring her emotional comfort. Physical, emotional comfort. We as a man, as a husband, we must strive to comfort her emotionally because we can't have a baby. Two men can't have a baby. Two women can't have a baby. That's not in the beginning. That is not creation, amen? So you must show her appreciation for her unselfish endurance. Amen? Now, as a provider, would someone read 1 Timothy 5:8 for me? That's a very important scripture. Anyone?
But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
An unbeliever. Oh, me too. Where are my glasses at here? That's right. Thank you. Thank you. You're worse than an unbeliever. And where's your faith? You have denied your faith. Is that what it says? And is worse than an unbeliever. Breadwinner. That's a wage earner. You're earning your wages. You're making money. The father is the breadwinner in the home. Whether or not your wife works. And sometimes your wife makes more money than you. Like mine did for years. God bless her. I had a smile all the time. Whether if your wife worked, that is a plus. It is your responsibility, men, to pay the bills, put bread on the table, provide the essentials that are necessary for the family. A father might be a policeman or a fireman. When he's at work, they risk their life to save others. A construction worker, that machine hammering and tearing your stomach up, digging your body into complete exhaustion. A doctor that maybe make the wrong decision and something happened to you concerning your life. It might cause someone's health in the future if he makes a mistake. A office worker dealing with politics, prejudice, peer pressure. But remember this, payday comes with your name on the check. God bless you. As a father, he prepares a home, a fit place for the offsprings to dwell in, providing them physical and spiritual in the home. He worked hard to support the food, to buy the food, the clothing, the shelter, but above all, to see that spiritual stability is in the home. In other words, fathers, make devotion time. Make devotional time. Study God's word. Read God's word so you know when somebody stand and say something, oh, that's, don't say that in the word. Right, right. Also, to get approval from God. Amen. Also, pray. Find praying time. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you can grow up and always see your daddy at this time of day in his secret closet, office, room, wherever he goes, and he's praying. And as a child, you say, well, no, daddy's praying. I can't bother him. I got in trouble the last time. I can't, because he's praying. It shouldn't be no stopping because you want some water or you want to go outside and play or whatever the situation is. A child must see that father praying as the head of the house, also the mother. It includes the mother. You might just be a only parent or whatever, but they must see you praying. And I'm not even talking about at church on Friday nights. I'm not talking about on Sundays. I'm not talking about on any other day you might come to noon prayer service. I'm talking about at home, they should see you praying. I remember as a young lad, me and my sister, a certain time in the morning, it was early in the morning, I would see Elder Williams, that's Herschel Williams' mother, because we, as little kids, we lived with them out in Elmwood, the Eastwick section. And she'd be on her knees praying. No matter what was going on, before she go to work, whatever, she was that early in the morning, I saw her praying. When I stayed with Dr. Taylor, she, at a certain time of the day, she was on her knees praying. I'm talking about all the time. I'm not saying, well, I'm going to a picnic today and I'm not going to pray. Well, you don't say it, you do it. Or, well, I'm going to church today, so I don't need to pray. Always saw them praying. Therefore, with their communication with God, they could do miraculous things filled with the Spirit. It wasn't all the time I'm in the church and I'm shouting or I'm preaching or I'm teaching, but when they're out there dealing with the world, as Jesus did. Yes, he went in the synagogue, but he was out there among the people, all kinds of people. How? Because he prayed. Jesus prayed. He always took time out to pray. And really, nobody really was messing with him when he was praying. They might did like his disciples, fall asleep, but they knew he was praying. And I believe, even as a child, I knew that I was covered. I was safe. As long as I was with them, nothing happened to me. That's being covered. Now, where do we find now as men being more spiritual? You see, a child, when he grows up, he's looking for something. And he may not find it at home. He may not find what he's looking for. And you're trying to be all that you can be, the best parent, working every day, providing, going to church, reading the Bible, teaching them. And we'll get into that. But it's something he's looking for, and he don't find it, I hate to say it, in their father or in their mother. It don't always have to be bad. But it's something they're striving, something is here that's bothering them. And they, as children, sometimes, they shut you out. Not intentionally, but intentionally. They shut you out. But there come a time when God, if you're praying, will bring it to your attention. Your child needs help. But as a father, we have certain things we must do. The Bible said, first thing we have to do, because we may not have that answer. But if we do this, first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all. Well, how did he know that? And all these things shall be added unto you. My father as a comforter. A father's responsibility is to demonstrate strength. I don't mean strength with a board beating you. strength, giving hope to family. Because if you're weak, your family's weak. Is that right? If you're weak as the mother, the sole parent, if you're weak, your family's weak. If you don't know God, they don't know God. Comfort. Showing tenderness, compassion toward children who might tremble and don't know how to express themselves. You as a father must show and give a child reason to trust you. And also by speaking words of grace. The most precious gift of comfort a father can give his children is a stable home. What kind of home? Now, let's go to the natural. And y'all pray for me. Ceiling leaking. Closet door in the boys' room off the hinges. All that's repairable. But right now, I want to talk about the relationship you have with your wife. Because we, as fathers, we'll put it off until, or never do it. And that's not right. Am I right? And then the communications, if you married your wife and then you have it out with him. You know, the worst thing a child can see is see you fighting your wife. It don't have to be a blood fight, physical. Oh, it can be. But the worst thing a child can see is you fighting. Now, I had this word for a while. And I asked the Lord, do you want me to say this? Because this is almost like this. This is almost like that. This is like I preached a few months ago, well, half a year ago. And when I preached the other Sunday, he said, preach the word. And I said, well, the worst thing you can do is see a child fighting. A child fighting, see their parents fighting. That's the worst thing they can see. Because you know what? It's always going to be in them. Ain't nothing a parent can do gonna take it out. That it's there. And what do I do? Do I, when I grow up, do the same thing? Do I treat women the way my father treated my mother? Huh? So as a child, we have to walk uprightly before him. That will linger for a child for years. So we must demonstrate our children steadfast, immovable bond between husband and wife. It's a beautiful thing if you see your mother and father and they kiss each other, they greet each other with a kiss, they remember their birthday, their anniversary. Lord, have mercy. And it's very important because the little things you think are not important, they're important. They're important because a mother don't think like a man, I need a new car. It could be just a card with money in it. Something wrong with my recording. A card with money in it. But it's important to them to see that you thought about them. The flowers, it's important. What flowers cost? Produce $5. I know the price. But it's very important to a woman, to a wife, that she's thought of. It's very important. It's not about the money, because the money could come and go. Your home could come and go. But the wife, to love them, to cherish them, is very important. You know what I mean? So, as a man, we must show, what's the word, that who God is? Love. See, that young love, when you first got married, I don't know if it was puppy love or what, that ain't what it's all about. It takes two. She has to love you too. She must show love towards you. But as men, we don't even, my birthday? You know, but it's important to the woman. So we as men must show compassion. Amen? A father as a teacher. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way it should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is that a great truth? Or is it a statement of principle? Do some children depart from the path in which they should walk even after being trained properly? Why do children sometimes depart from the way it should? From the way they should? Why? I walk uprightly before the Lord. I study the word. I pray. I mean, why? I show love toward my wife. I show love toward my children. I do for them. Why should children sometimes depart from the way they should? Here are some reasons. Peer pressure. Lord have mercy. Influence of his or her surroundings. And a no foundation. A firm ground in which our children can stand is the truth of God's word. By being a walking example of God's word, not only do you have to talk that talk, you have to walk that walk. God's truth never fail. God always win. And we need to be sure our kids know that, that they can count on him. And there, I'm going to tell you my subject. I'll leave you a little short. Four words. My Father, 2 Kings 2:12. It's the story of Elijah and Elisha. So when I say the Shah, you know I'm talking about Elisha. When I say Jah, it's Elijah. Amen. They met in a strange kind of way. Because one was the surrogate father, and the other one was the recipient, the son. Here, Elijah, when he was passing by, he saw Elisha working on the farm. Elisha, he had a little bit of money. The family was well off. So as he was working in the field, Elisha passed by. This is how children react. They can sense something about you that is different. We have men that grew up in the church, and they are here today or in a church because of what they saw in you. Not everybody in this church, and that's all it is. It's people all over this world that has been inspired by men and women that are saved, that walk uprightly before the Lord. Here, Elijah saw Elijah, and he took off. He said, when he caught up with him, he said, allow me to go back and tell my, wait a minute, I got to go back and tell mom and dad I'm leaving. But he was a grown man. He wasn't no little boy. He said, I'm leaving because I see something in this man that's different from any other man that I ever came across. You young boys, remember this. If you haven't found that type of man, keep looking. God will give you somebody in your life. It might be your football coach, your basketball coach. It might be someone that has Christ in their life, and you are inspired to be like them. You're inspired to, when I grow up, this is what, or now, this is what I want to do. They don't always be together with you for years and years. Elijah and Elisha was together for 7 or 8 years. But sometimes it might be for a moment. It might be for a weekend, a day, an hour. But if something in them will inspire you to be all that you can be. I want to be like him or her. It could be your daughter, it could be your son. So here Elijah, when he took off and he went back. Now, Elijah told Elisha to go back. Say, go back. And then, you know, through the Holy Spirit, being inspired by God, telling him, that's the one. That's the one that I want you to mentor to. So he became Elijah's assistant. He became his assistant because he wanted to be with him. I just got to be with him. I just got to be under him so that I can receive all that I can receive. I don't know how much I'm going to receive, but I just got to be near him. Amen. I got to be under his tutelage. I got to be under him to learn all that I can learn. I can't get this at home. Amen. Nothing wrong with home. But I got to find myself in life and where I'm going and what I'm doing and who I am. And this is what I see in Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet. He was so great As we know the story, he went away in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire and horses of fire. He didn't die. So Enoch wasn't the only one that left here and went with, to be with the Lord. Amen? So he stayed under his tutelage. He stayed in all the miracles he wrought. Elijah, the first one. He saw all the great, I'm talking about great miracles. Miracles that was unbelievable. Dealing with other prophets, worship of Baal, all that he saw. But you know what? He wanted more. Now, Elijah, number one, his time was winding up. He was going to be with the Lord. He knew he was going to die normally, physically. He didn't know he was going to go away like he went away. But he, when he was talking to Elijah, he said, well, you stay here. I'm going on to the city. Elisha, number two, he sensed, oh no, because he know everywhere he went, he was with him. Now he's telling me to stay here with the other prophets. Now, Elijah knew that he wanted more and be the one. He wanted more than these other prophets got. He knew not. Now, this is the man. I want to stay with him. So he asked. He went. He stayed with him. He followed him. So Elijah, number one, said, turn around. Well, what do you want? What do you want? And Elijah told him, I want your double blessing. I want your spirit, double portion. I want double for really what I don't want riches. I don't want a new car, new outfit, new home. I don't want all that. But I'm just using that for an example. But I wanted what you have. I want your spirit, but I want a double portion of it. Now, he didn't want it to show off. He wanted because he knew this man, as you say, have it going on. He knew this man was different from any other prophet. So Elijah told him, number one, said, well, you asked for a hard thing. He didn't answer him, say, yeah, you got it, or whatever. He said, you asked for a hard thing. And then he said, I tell you what, if you see me, my God, that's keeping focus. Eyes on him. If you see me when I leave, if you, and he already was there, he never left him. And tell me, when he went away on the fiery chariot and horses, Elijah saw him and received the double portion of his blessings. And that's the beautiful thing. Do you know you're not tutoring, being a tutor, if you're not tutoring nobody? You want your son, you want your daughter to be greater and better than you. You want them to excel, to exceed, to be all that they can be. That's why you work every day. That's why you pay the bills. That is why you be the best example for them to follow. But sometimes it might be someone else that's the one that's going to lead them to where they want to go. Amen? So we must do all that we can do. Because we don't know who it might be that we tutor. We might be trying to tutor this one over here, and it's this one watching you and want to be just like you. We as fathers, we have a job to do. We have a job to do, and we can't slow up. We can't turn around. We can't show the negative side that we shouldn't have. We can't even backslide because everybody is watching you. We must be the example that God called us for because we don't know what we can give back. And if you're not giving nothing back, something was wrong with that picture. How can you be the prophet, the preacher, the bishop, the pastor, the spiritual one in the church, and you're nobody's receiving that, hello, mantle that you have? You didn't give it to nobody. Nobody received it. Nobody.
Right.
Where's your investment? Anybody invested in this young lad?
Right.
Investment is important because then you can receive something back. The greatest investor was God himself, the Father. When he invested into this world and he gave his only begotten son, his investment came in thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming to him. That is the greatest investment of this world. When Jesus gave his only son, and no one can compare to that. But all through the Bible, you'll find different investments. Lot, Abraham, it's all kind. Paul and Timothy. Timothy was taught by his mother and grandmother. He was taught the word. But he needed more than that. He needed a leader that he can pattern himself after. Paul was in jail, and Paul still communicated with him. Everything that he learned from Paul. How to be a bishop, how to be a pastor, how to be over the people, what to say, how to say it, when to say it. And the last thing Paul did before he went away, it showed him how to die. Show him how to die. Isn't that beautiful? That means he done all he could. He done all he had. And we today, as young men, y'all keep looking. Keep on looking. They're here. They're here. They're over there. They're somewhere. If you're looking for it, God will show you. So my thing to you is, my Father, which became our Father, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what's so beautiful about that? Because it's for all the people. It's not just for you because you live in Chicago. It's not for you because you live in South Carolina. It's for all his people. He loves us all. He loved us so much. He gave the best that he had. Wait a minute. He gave himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So he gave himself to you. He gave his son. He gave his son that died on the cross. He died that we may have a life and have ownership to the tree of life. He redeemed us. He brought us from the sin that we could not come out of. We couldn't come out of that. But Jesus did it. If anybody asks you why you're like this, and I remember when you were like that, I can tell them, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. I didn't do it. I didn't come out of it. I was so messed up, I didn't even know my name. But Jesus did it. He did it all on the cross. He died for all that you may have a right to the tree of life. My soul is happy. My soul is so happy today. I'm walking around here like there's nothing wrong with my knees. Y'all pray for me. The pastor told me to hold on to the podium and just stand still. But sometimes it's just like fire shut up in my bones. Sometimes I got to kick it out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God I can still, as an older man, still mentor young men. I can still do what God told us to do. So we got to keep on keeping on. I want to encourage all you men. Be all that you can be. Because somebody's looking at you. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody's looking at you. It's never too late. don't give up, because he never gave up on you. Somebody say, well, you have young preachers. Why are you still preaching? Because God told me to preach. Man didn't tell me to preach. He told me to give the word in season and out of season. Just preach the word. And that's why I'm standing here today. We as men got to do what God called us to do, so that the young people can see God in our life. See the better way to go. See the way that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. Somebody say they're going to heaven another way? No, you got to go by Jesus. What is his name? What is his name? No other name out of the sun but Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Yeah. You're going to confess that he is Lord. He's my Lord and he's your Lord. I'm glad about it today. This men's day. Every day is men's day. Every day is men's day. Not just one day out of the year. And now we're trying to do 1 month out of the year. But every day is a men's day. I don't know when you're leaving here. But one thing I do know, as long as you are standing on his word, your daughter going to look up to you as daddy. And not daddy laddie. That was a nickname I had. As daddy. He's my daddy. I'm proud of him. He taught me all that he knew. He gave me the word. He lived by the word. He showed an example of who God is. I see God in his life. I see Jesus right there by his side. I see that he is my that's your daddy. Now that I'm older, I can know that he has a father, which art in heaven. And I'm glad I know him. A lot of times, like the prodigal son did, when he left home, he thought he was going to a better life. He thought he had it going on. He thought he knew all that his father knew and more. The children know more than the parents. Lord have mercy. This prodigal son thought he had it going on. But the other son was home just as bad. Not like him, but in a different way. But the father lived a life and he knew the Lord. And he set an example for his children to go by. When his son left home, he said, I'm not coming back. I'm out of here. Give me my share. Give me. What's due me, I'm leaving. But what the good thing about it, the father showed compassion. The father showed love. The father did never stop praying for him. All while he was out there doing his thing. Living an adulterous life. Doing all the things that he shouldn't have done. Thought he had friends and lost every one of them. This prodigal son said, one day, I believe I'll go back to my father. You see, what you teach your child, it's in them. It's in them. It might not show when you think it's going to show. He realized that his father was right. He realized his father had it going on. He realized his father knew God. When he came back, he asked for forgiveness of the father and his father. That's awesome. That means he had God in him. What you put in your child, it'll never leave them. And somebody can say, oh, he's just like his daddy. Oh, he acts just like his daddy. Huh? Because it's in them. So we as fathers keep on tutoring, keep on teaching, keep on providing, keep on showing the light of Christ. Amen? Amen. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. That's my prayer today. And we're going to go into communion.